say Shy City.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Well, it's Lance Zierlein and Del Olele today, and Tyler is in as our producer and commentator. We've got Eric Layden's going to be in studio with us at 8:30, but joining us right now is director of the Senior Bowl. He was an NFL personnel man and is a commentator on ESPN as well for the NFL draft, and it's Jim Nagy. Jim, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us this morning. We appreciate it.
Yeah, Lance and Del, thanks for having me on.
So there's a lot. So Del's a big college football fan. Of course, you know, I do draft stuff and whatnot. And, you know, you can't be like the combination of college football into the NFL is where you converge with the NFL draft. And the place that's a jump off point, in my opinion, is the Senior Bowl. That, to me, is when, quote unquote, draft season starts, is really kind of the Senior Bowl moving forward. Now, you know, this is strange times for all of us with the pandemic. Everything is basketball is being played on a neutral site with virtual fans. You've got baseball with virtual, with cutout cardboard fans in a 60 game season. And the NFL, I haven't even seen one Texans practice because I'm not allowed to go out there. We can't even see it. So there's no preseason games. It's a different kind of year. I'm curious as to what is going on. I've got a lot of questions for you, but let's start with the Senior Bowl. So what are you doing this year? We've got two conferences not even playing football until the spring, supposedly. What's happening to the Senior Bowl? What are your plans right now?
Yeah, Lance, we could do this for a couple hours. Had a call last week, really good informative call with all 32 teams in the league. I think there were 70 guys on the call, you know, GMs, director-level guys, just to kind of – first thing I wanted to tell them is that we're willing to do – what we need to do to accommodate them and have a good week in what's definitely a different year. So if that means moving our game in alignment to the draft calendar, so if the draft kicks back, you know, 4 or 5 weeks, which they could do back to June 2nd, I think is the latest possible date, we would be open to moving our date, kind of stay in line with that. And also, I think, expanding our week. I think we've got to really look long and hard at that option. Just because for the, you know, for the Big Ten, Pac-12 guys, and then MAC and Mountain West and, you know, FCS level guys. I mean, if you haven't put the pads on for 12 to 15 months, some of these guys that have been injured, that, you know, that all missed all of last year because of an injury, some cases over 2 calendar years now putting on pads, you know, we got to give them an opportunity to put their best foot forward. So, you know, we think talk about extending out to a couple weeks. They could come to Mobile, condition for 3 or 4 days on the field, do a lot of combine-type position-specific drills, then go in uppers for, you know, shells and for probably 3 or 4 days, and then full pads for 3 or 4 days. So that would allow those guys to shake off the rust and, again, show their best stuff on the field for these teams because, as you know, Lance, I mean, theoretically, all these guys should have gotten better in the last year, bigger, faster, stronger, right. Put in a lot of time in the weight room. So, you know, we just feel like our game might be the only opportunity for these guys to show what all that hard work looks like on a football field.
I think there's always going to be questions about, theoretically, it's called the Senior Bowl, but everyone wants a place where they can watch, you know, underclassmen who want to potentially compete against other players in practices and things like that. Has there ever been talk during this pandemic conversation? Because no doubt you've had so many different contingency plans that you've thrown out there and will continue to have others, obviously. Has there ever been a talk about allowing those guys from the Big Ten and Pac-12 into that particular circumstance and saying, hey, you know, come on in, Walker Little, or come on in, you know, Rashad Bateman, or come on in, Rondale Moore? Has there ever been talk about that?
Well, a couple of those guys you mentioned are eligible to play in the game because they're going to have their diploma in December. So,
oh, that's right.
Yeah, that was a great rule. You know, 6 or 7 years ago, when Phil Savage was running the game, you know, the league passed a rule where if you're a junior or a redshirt sophomore, and you've gotten your diploma by December before our game, you can play in an All-Star game. So. We've really taken advantage of that. That was a huge focus when I got here a couple years ago. I think the previous high we'd ever had in the game was 4 in 1 year, and then we've had 23 over the last 2 years. So it's really helped beef up our roster. So we do a lot of legwork over the spring and summer and through the fall trying to identify those guys, you know, through our friends in the league and through schools. And right now the schools are really being gracious by letting us jump on all these Zoom calls they're doing with the NFL team. So we're getting a lot of that information right now where guys are, you know, in terms of on track for their graduation. But, yeah, Lance, it would be great if we could bring, you know, all the underclassmen, but I just don't think we'll ever get to that point because, again, I think playing in an all-star game, you know, serves as a incentive for a kid to leave early. Like if that, you know, if they were all able to just, you know, come to the Senior Bowl and show themselves in front of 900 NFL decision makers and scouts, I think you'd have even more guys jumping ship than there already are. And the NFL is probably has no interest in upsetting the relationships with the colleges. So I don't think we'll ever get to the point where all underclassmen will be allowed to play in our game.
The NCAA is moving towards a rule where no matter how many games you participate in this fall or spring, depending on when your season gets off, that you won't lose a year of eligibility, which would mean a senior could have two senior seasons if he so chooses to come back. How much would that change the scouting perspective if you know that a guy, let's say a mid-tier quarterback prospect, can get a second senior season? And do you expect players to take advantage of that?
Yeah, there's going to have to be some sort of opt-in, you know, option where you're basically declaring that you're opting into that extra year, I would guess. I mean, you can't start playing spring ball in the NFL and not know if you're part of that draft process or not. So, yeah, I think it's going to come down to each individual case. I think it's always beneficial. You use the example of a quarterback. I mean, for those guys to get more experience and get more reps, because unless you're going to get on the field right away, unless you're a first round guy, or you find yourself like Gardner Minshew, where you're in a situation where you play right away, you know, it's tough. You sit. I mean, it's the league is not set up to be a developmental league for quarterbacks right now. So, I do think a lot of these quarterbacks are going to have to make a tough decision on whether to enter the draft this year or come back and take advantage of that extra year of eligibility. But I think that goes for all players, and I think the hard part, moving forward is getting these players the right information so they can make an educated decision on where they're at with the NFL teams. And it's easy at some schools to do. It's easy if you're at Alabama and you can walk down the hall and knock on Coach Saban's door and he can, you know, ring four or five guys in the league that he trusts and get your players good evaluations. But it's not that way at every school. So I really think the biggest thing moving forward for college football players this year is doing whatever they can do to get a handle on where they sit in the NFL's eyes, not Twitter, not the internet, not agents, but what the NFL really thinks of them.
Yeah, and the NFL is going to have to be more open than ever in terms of, you know, they never like to encourage players to come out early. The NFL is always very careful. Me, on the NFL side, for me, for NFL Network and NFL.com, I'm not really allowed to comment on a player's an underclassman's round projections. We don't even do mock drafts until after the final declaration day in January. So the NFL, you know, their own website, NFL.com, we are told we don't want to do anything to push players out early because of the relationship that the NFL has with college football. But this is going to have to be a little different year because you want these guys to get good information. You know, it's going to be challenging for NFL teams who have first-round picks. We don't know anything about that in Houston because Houston never has a first-round pick in any sport. But when I watched, I already wrote up. I'm already done with my draft eval on Gregory Russo from Miami, on Caleb Farley from Virginia Tech. Russo, for those who don't know, this is a guy who was a high school wide receiver, I guess, who is a one-year defensive end who had 15 sacks and like 19 tackles for loss. But he played, and that sounds great, but a lot of it came as a nose when they reduced him down, and he's not. He's a defensive end. I don't have any other tape to use other than 19. So this is going to be extraordinarily challenging. He's played the position 1 year on tape. The Virginia Tech cornerback has played it 2 years on tape, but he was a high school quarterback. So some of the things that I see, Jim, that are problems are typically going to be that year two and year three is so important to development and growth. And we don't have that. We don't have it for Rondell Moore, who was hurt last year in the fourth or fifth week of his season. This is un- just looking at some of these guys and what I have to work with, Walker Little from Stanford, through no fault of his own, I mean, he's in the Pac-12, I've got to go back to 2018 tape, and he's a top 10, top 12 projection.
Yeah, Lance, it's going to force a lot of projection in these players. And again, if you work in an NFL scouting department, projection is sometimes can be a bad word. You're trying to eliminate as much of the projection element as you can. It's just, it is what it is this year, right? I mean, it does. It makes it very difficult. So the on-field evaluation has its challenges, but also, Lance, without these scouts being on the road all fall and on campus, I mean, that's a whole different level of challenge. So that's why I know a lot of teams. That's why, you know, Seattle was probably comfortable trading away a couple first-round picks for Jamal Adams in a year like this, because I just can speak on my experience where you're scouting in the NFL. Like, the players I missed on and the teams that I was with that, our draft picks that we missed on, when you go back and look at it, I mean, we most of the time, we miss more on the person than the player. I mean, the longer you scout, the easier watching the tape is and figuring out if a guy's an NFL, going to be an NFL guy or not. But the hardest part is figuring out the person and what makes him tick, and is he ready to be a pro, and all those things. So what's he going to do with more money and time on his hands? So that's why guys usually miss. It's not really the talent part of it. So that's the challenge now too. They're on these Zoom calls, which I mentioned, where our staff here at the Senior Bowl has been on these Zoom calls, and schools are great for setting them up, but really it's really vanilla information. It's not like you're on campus. It's not you walking down the hallway where the coaches are and shutting the door behind you and sitting down with the running backs coach and really, getting the nitty gritty on a player, and that's the stuff that helps you, get conviction on a player, is when you really feel like you know him. And that's, teams are going to be really behind when it comes to just the information gathering on these players when it comes to this draft.
Jim, you're talking about that particular aspect of it, but what about the Senior Bowl and when it will take place? You talked about possibly extending the week, or maybe making it a 2-week type of experience scheduled for January 30th of 2021. Is that a date that can be moved depending on how college football operates, or really how the pandemic goes, or is that not something that will be moved?
It's going to be moved based on the draft calendar. It's going to have nothing to do with what happens in the spring. And again, I'll say this, prior to last week, prior to the Big Ten getting shut down, every coach that I spoke to, from, guys in the SWAC all the way up to, the MAC level in other leagues, at the FBS level, I mean, the talk of spring ball, the coaches just like rolled their eyes when you brought it up to them. I mean, nobody thought they were playing in the spring. It was basically being floated out there to appease people for right now. But for the coaches, all felt like, we're playing in the fall of 2021. Now, that changed a little bit last week because you look at the Big Ten coaches that got behind that initiative, and that, powerful men like Jim Harbaugh and Ryan Day and Scott Frost. I mean, so the Big Ten thing has a little bit of life to it right now. I still think it has a ton of challenges. So, no, that's not going to affect what our game does in the spring. What's going to affect our game is what the league does with the draft.
So unless the league, Jim, by the way, it's Jim Nagy here, is the director of the Senior Bowl. He's a scout with the Seattle Seahawks. Jim, when you say that about the league draft schedule, if the NFL says we're not moving our draft date, then the combine is going to stay. I don't see how that's even possible. They would almost have to have a second combine, because you and I both know you got to have the medicals, you got to have the psych evaluations, everything that is non. You can get the physical stuff at a workout, on campus, but the medicals and the psych evaluations and the face to face stuff that happens at the combine, that's just you have to have those things. And if there are conferences playing football in the spring, that's just not available. I would think seniors who think that their combine, a potential combine invite, they wouldn't want to play spring football if the league doesn't move the February date.
Yeah, that's right, Lance. And I think that, bring up Coach Saban's name again, I think he hit the nail on the head last week. It's going to be, if they do play something in the spring, I think it's going to be a very watered down product. Coach Saban used the term, it's going to look like you're going to be fielding a JV team. And I believe that's the case. I mean, I think that if you're a legitimate draftable prospect, I think they invite close to 400 guys to the combine. So there's about 140, 150 guys that go to the combine that don't get invited. So again, that gets back to, you know, you really have to get some good information on where you sit if you're a player. But again, I think if guys are even, you know, day three picks, they're going to want to enter the draft process, right? So yeah, they're not going to be playing a spring season, then be able to jump over to Indy and do the combine thing. So that's going to be, to me, that's the most difficult part. And I haven't touched base with Jeff Foster, who runs the combine in Indy right now. I've tried to connect with him a couple times this week, and we just haven't been able to connect. We've got flexibility in our Mobile to move our date. I wonder if Jeff has any flexibility in Indy, because it's such a big convention town, and that convention center, I can't imagine that thing's not booked out probably years in advance. So I don't know how much wiggle room Jeff would have to move the combine. And again, we always need to keep that window between our game and the combine, because the agents all want their players to leave Mobile and have, you know, three or four weeks to train before going to the combine. So we'll probably have to stay in line with what the combine does. But if Jeff has the flexibility to move his event back, then we'd probably do the same thing. And again, I think that might be critical in terms of buying us time if there is a vaccine that comes out later this fall, which is, you know, the hope. And, you know, some people are optimistic on that. So I think it would just buy us some critical time.
That's Jim Nagy with the Senior Bowl. Jim, thanks for joining us today. You can also check Jim out on Twitter at Jim Nagy, N-A-G-Y underscore S-B. A lot of great, not just Senior Bowl stuff, a lot of great football evaluation and just good commentary on there as well. And, of course, he shows up on ESPN talking some college football, NFL draft, whatever the case may be. Jim, thanks. It's great. He's a great follow on Twitter as well. Jim, thanks for joining us this morning. We appreciate it.
Yeah, fellas, thanks for having me on. Stay safe.
8:18 here on the bench. Coming up in a second, our friend Eric Layden is going to be in studio with us talking a little sports and other things. Keep it right here on the bench. Oh, and by the way, we got to get to George Karl versus Mark Jackson. It got a little petty on Twitter.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Carmelo Anthony drives on James. A couple of fakes and backs it home.
And people who killed Carmelo Anthony in the past for his defense and whatever, they were wrong. This guy is picking up LeBron James full court. He's overmatched.
I don't agree with that. I don't agree that they were wrong. This is a change. This is different. This is putting more into the defense. Maybe before he didn't play as hard defensively.
Okay, I'll tell you this. Then there's a shared responsibility for whoever allowed that defense to be played, because for some reason he is bought in with this culture and he's committed to it. This is energy and effort. Off of the defensive pickup full court, they take advantage of his size and strength. He would.
Carmelo Anthony drives on James.
That was the ABC broadcast or ESPN broadcast last night from the Lakers and Blazers. Lakers respond big, tie that series up at 1.
But two games yesterday, they called the Rockets and the Lakers games.
Yeah, part of the advantage of being in the bubble. You get your number one team on multiple games. But the story wasn't the Lakers responding and blowing out the Blazers. It was the reaction of George Karl to that comment. Mark Jackson talking about Carmelo Anthony. You know, for whatever reason, the league loves Carmelo Anthony. The players love him. I guess the coaches love him, too. At least
it is true.
Former coaches love him, too.
Like, players love Carmelo Anthony.
Yeah, you saw Dame Lillard earlier.
Kevin Garnett didn't.
No. Earlier in the bubble, talk about how put some respect on not just his name, but Carmelo's name. He didn't like the disrespect that Carmelo was receiving. So Mark Jackson was there saying, look how great Carmelo's playing. And George Karl heard that. And George Karl took to Twitter, and shots were fired. He added Mark Jackson. I heard at Mark Jackson 13 is taking shots at my defensive coaching during tonight's broadcast. Remind me, how many All-Star teams did you coach, Mark? How many Defensive Player of the Years? How many finals appearances? How many of my teams became dynasties right after I left? That was the response by George Karl.
And which, to be fair, that's how you Twitter fight people.
Yeah. You pull receipts.
Yeah. George Karl just pulled receipts like a Twitter in a classic Twitter fight way, and Mark Jackson came back with him, and he hit him with something at the end of this comment. We're about to bring Eric Layton,
which I love.
Eric, I want you to listen to this because this is truly two grown men. One was Rookie of the Year, if I remember correct. One has been Coach of the Year. And I want you to listen how Mark Jackson comes back on Twitter.
Wasn't even thinking of you. By the way, I never lost you in the playoffs as a player or as a coach. God bless you, you and yours. Hand down, man down. Actually, I added that.
You added a hand down. He hit him with the God bless.
Yeah, now, God
Eric,
bless.
You are off of Twitter. Eric Layton joins us right now. He's my podcast partner on Off Script and from Houston. And he's an actor. He's in lots of stuff. Right Stuff is going to be coming out in just in October. Finally, we had a date that came out. So I know you're not on Twitter anymore, maybe for this very reason, but when somebody hits you with the God bless, that's one of those Twitter – they expect it to be a Twitter shutdown line, a God bless.
Yeah, that's a drop the mic.
Yeah.
That's a drop the mic.
God bless. What do you – George Karl – and George, did George Karl come back at that?
No.
Not at this point.
He didn't know. How do you respond to God bless?
He could say bleep your God, but that's strong. That's too strong.
Yeah, because his God might be George Karl's God.
I think they might have the same God. And if that's the case, you can't say that. He said, God bless. I wasn't even thinking of you. So now if George Karl stays on, he's like, wow, why am I so – then the next thing that comes up from Mark Jackson is – I'm renting space in your head. Yeah. We know how this Twitter fight
goes. If I was George Karl, I'd be like, since you're not thinking about me, maybe you're thinking about Mark D'Antoni. Mike D'Antoni. Just list all the coaches Carmelo played for.
Oh, try to get him some beef with another coach.
Yeah, since you're not thinking of me, you must be thinking of one of these guys.
Just spin him. Just bring somebody else into it.
Yeah. He must be talking. He played for Mike for two times, and it didn't work out.
Were you talking about at Mike D'Antoni, or were you talking about at Derek Fisher, or were you talking about
Jeff Hornacek for all of games, whatever it was?
And so he starts atting other coaches, like, who are you talking about?
Yeah, explain.
That's how you do it on Twitter.
I'm pretty impressed that George Karl, at his age, even has the wherewithal on how to throw beef on Twitter. Mm-hmm. Like, you think one of his guys is kind of helping him form that tweet?
He was always soft.
Yeah, he was always a little guy who liked the little get back.
So you think he could bring that to Twitter?
I just think he is being himself. Like, George Karl's public beefs and attitudes kind of fit in. Now that I think about it, he was kind of a Twitter personality already, where he was, like, kind of ready to go at all times. And I think – I didn't see him play, but I've seen – highlights and stuff. I think George Karl was one of those salty 1970s players that liked to throw a bunch of punches and stuff like that.
And frankly, I'm upset if George Karl has a guy doing his Twitter.
No, I can't.
Why does he need a brand manager? What's he doing?
I mean, like, one of his players.
Oh, okay.
Like, he's reaching out to one of his players.
And they're giving him advice?
No,
telling him? Is the glove telling him how to tweet?
I think he was watching the game, and he's like,
excuse me.
It was Mark Jackson. He probably picked his phone up and texted,
one of his former players.
I'm trying to think of who he would have texted, either a former player or a former coach or somebody. And he would have said, hey, you watching a game? Yeah. Do you think Mark Jackson was just talking about me when he said the coaching couldn't get him to buy in or whatever? He blamed it on the coaching. You know, Melo hasn't played defense ever. Like, I think that somebody else goes, I hadn't thought about it, but you did coach him the longest. So it probably was you. Like, mother.
I know he's not talking about Jim Boeheim. He must be talking about you.
Let me at Mark Jackson. Yeah, because Jim Boeheim just has you play that weak-ass 2-3.
2-3, yeah.
Yeah.
That's not man's defense. We know that.
No, that's not hand down, man down. So, so that went on. We got an NBA Twitter beef between two former coaches. Mark Jackson, kind of a former coach, Mark Jackson.
Well, he has a coaching record.
Yeah, he has a record. Coached. Yeah, because I think George Karl laid it out. As soon as you left, dynasty.
But you know what? You come back
with a sting.
God bless.
But anyway, wasn't even thinking about you. God bless. So what's going on, Eric? How you doing?
Dude, I'm just happy to be in Houston.
Are you?
Yeah, I am.
Our weather's a little warmer.
It's a little warm.
It seems it's calmer here than in California, I think.
Well, I mean, we're not on fire here.
No, we're not. That was why?
It's crazy.
That's another crazy fire that's evacuating people in California.
Fires.
Multiple.
Yeah, I think up and down the West Coast, there's something like 37 fires.
Yeah. We can have like tire fires out in like East Bernard and stuff like that.
Right, right.
Kind of burn off trash.
Right.
But we don't, other than that, there was a big fire that was near West Park, but we don't get the
dumpster fires.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But we don't get right. Yeah. No. Or like Astros bullpen sometime when Cy Snead comes. But that's a different.
I thought the obvious joke was on Kirby, the dumpster fire.
Oh, dumpster fire on Kirby. You could have made that one.
Yeah.
But that's a playoff team.
Double digit win playoff team.
Yeah. Double
2 years
win
in a row.
Playoff team. Yeah. Yeah. The train got going last year.
Yeah.
You didn't
division
get on the
champion.
Train. Division champion. Again.
Yeah. Two-time defending.
Again.
In a row.
Banner hanging.
Yeah.
Dumpster fire.
Let me ask you a question.
Understand.
Someone who's done a podcast with me, I know that you have been reluctant to get on the Texans train, and then you were blatantly off the Texans train 2 years ago. Last year, I tried to get you back on the train, and in fact, at times would tweet you or would send you, text you a picture just of a train, because I said, look, there's lots of stops. They can pick you up, and you can get on, and you can ride this Bill O'Brien train.
And what did I send you back? Usually.
You sent a gif of train running into
the
derailment? Crashing. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Derailment.
Do you think the Chiefs game was?
I think I sent him a train in that one, too. And then what was your comment?
I believe you wrote, you sent me a text that said, get on the train.
Yeah.
And I wrote you a reply that said, I saw the Buffalo game.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, a win. A playoff win, by the way. A fourth quarter comeback playoff win.
No. He's talking about.
I'm talking about the Buffalo
35-3.
Yeah, that's all I need.
Yeah, he's talking about that.
That solidified my.
But
Houston
that was a different
sports.
Franchise. The Texans don't have that type of.
Exactly.
It's the same thing.
No. But it is Houston. It's bitten by the Houston bug, but different franchise in the sense that the Oilers will always be special. The Texans will always be. Basic.
Meh.
Basic. You just called the Texans basic.
Yeah,
well,
basic.
They are colors, name.
Basic.
Bowl on the helm. It's all basic.
It's basic.
It's basic.
I got the most basic thing I've ever seen. When we come back, the most basic thing I've ever seen came out yesterday. This is the most basic thing I've ever seen. 8:30 here. Eric Layden's in studio with us. It's me. It's Dell. It's Tyler. It's Eric. You guys can jump in if you want. 713-780-3776. It's The Bench on ESPN 97.5. Know what the half is. You got to pay to
play just for shorty bang bang to look your way. Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
8:33 here on The Bench. And I told you, I don't want to leave you hanging on this. I told you that I would have I saw the most basic thing that I've ever seen in my entire life. Pumpkin, and this just is coming out, pumpkin spice hard seltzer. You've taken the hard seltzer world that everyone's trying to get in on now. The Claw's already saying, hey, this is a Claw and Truly. These are the two brands, okay? We're the two brands. Stop Corona. Stop Budweiser. Stop whoever's doing pumpkin spice hard. When somebody said, excuse me, what if we threw pumpkin spice in some hard seltzer?
Who's the other brand besides White Claw?
Truly.
Okay.
That's the one that I see the most. Those are the seltzer giants. If there's giants in the seltzer in the hard seltzer world, and Mike's Hard Lemonade, it's like, hey, we were doing Hard Lemonade a few years ago, and Zima's like, excuse me, did we just come too soon? Did we just come around too early?
Yeah, you weren't cool, Zima. Wrong generation.
Yeah, no, Zima was
made
like
a little
sports
comeback
night.
About four
it
years
was just
ago.
Too soon.
Yeah, it was like Sports Night,
yeah.
Which I actually need to see Sports Night.
Oh, my God. You gotta
There's
see
been
Sports
nobody. Have you ever seen it, Dale?
Yeah.
Nobody has ever seen. Did you think it was great?
It was. Oh, I was younger, so I didn't understand all of it. But yeah,
oh,
I liked
you watched
it
back when it was on?
When it was on, yeah.
I did,
person
too.
Are you? Nobody did that.
Well,
did
I know.
You watched it when it was on?
It was on ABC, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. Yeah. ABC.
Yeah.
Yeah. I watched it whenever it was on.
No, I think it was ABC.
Dell's not going to miss on me.
Same boat as Dell. Didn't really understand what was going
on. Astro numbers, but
yeah, very early Aaron Sorkin show, way ahead of its time. when you watch it, you'll get a kick out of one thing in particular. They really didn't know who they were, so much so that the first like two or three episodes have a laugh track because it's like a half hour drama, and then it becomes a drama. It's great.
Yeah.
It's one of Aaron Sorkin's
best. Everyone talks
best.
About how it's one of the most underrated shows, so much so that it's not underrated anymore because everyone talks about it. But mm-hmm. I've actually never seen it. I have to see if it's on Hulu or something.
Has future felon Felicity Huffman in
That's
it.
Right. Felicity Huffman and Robert Gilyoud.
Oh, yeah. She was one of them.
Josh Malina, Peter Krause, and Josh Charles. All of those guys.
Josh Malina and I went to the same summer camp.
Only Felicity Huffman's the future felon. Yeah.
Not Felicity from the TV show Carrie Russell.
No.
Just a great
Russian spy.
Right.
Russian spy. You ever watch The Americans?
I watched the first two seasons.
You didn't like it?
Yeah, I did like it. I liked it a lot. I just didn't. It was one of those, like, I probably, like, went somewhere for a job, and then that was, you know what I mean? A lot of times, like, there's gaps in my seasons.
What's the last time
you
went somewhere for a job now?
Vancouver.
That's the last time?
Yeah.
When you went somewhere?
Yeah. No, Orlando.
Orlando.
Or I spent all last year in Orlando.
For the right stuff.
Yeah. I forgot even how to act. It's been so long.
When's the last time you actually acted on a set?
January.
Of this year?
Of this year. I went in and did a little work for a show called Stumptown.
And then you got pandemic.
And then I got full corona'd. I mean, I don't have corona, thank God.
So, you know, UFC is doing, they have Fight Island.
Mm-hmm.
They have, the basketball has a bubble.
Mm-hmm.
Baseball plays in front of cutouts. When is acting going to get, because we're starting to run through Netflix pretty hard. I mean, it's not like we're going to run out of shows. Del might run out of shows because he's seen just about everything. But at some point, I started realizing, hey, Handmaid's Tale should be coming out about right now. That's not coming out.
Nope.
And let's see, this isn't coming out. Succession Season 3 is not coming out. A lot of these still have to be filmed. And then you have post-production. How long is this going to screw up our shows? I mean, yes, it's a pandemic and all that.
But there's TV that needs to be
made.
But
what about our favorite streaming shows? When are they going to come out?
This won't surprise you based on what you're saying, is that I'm actually deemed an essential worker. An actor is an essential worker.
To our entertainment, yes, he is.
Right.
Yes,
okay. So I just want to make sure everybody throws the respect they deserve. You know, like essential workers like I are on the front lines.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're going to be putting ourselves at risk to walk onto a set, be handed a nice warm breakfast.
Yeah. You never know. Corona could be.
Sit in our trailer for what could be up to 45 minutes while we wait for a test.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then go put our lives on the line to be able to perform.
Yeah,
for you.
So we can
and Dell.
By the way,
you never know what's out there. Something could be on the peanut M&Ms that might get him.
Well,
Kraft.
I think the years of peanut M&Ms in a bowl are so long gone.
Done.
Yeah, I don't even
bags only if that.
Yeah, I mean they're going to be handing you like a little cellophane bag with like maybe three M&Ms, none of the colors you want. Yeah, it's going to be
looks
gone.
Like, did you want to jump in on something or no?
No, well, just mentioning like M&Ms in a bowl. I saw something about. It was some meme. Like, you remember whenever we used to have birthdays and people would blow out the candles on the cake that everybody eats? That's never going to happen.
From the same cake?
Yeah.
Done.
Forget about it.
Is that over
individual
forever?
Slices.
You think that never gets back to – that's a normal that will never get back? Kind of like walking all the way down to the gate whenever somebody flies out? That's never coming back.
No way.
You're not. Yeah, you'll never have that
cut them into
back.
Slices and hand them. Yeah, we're done.
Everybody, you're just getting one candle.
And then you wave your
arm
furiously to knock out the flames of the candle?
Yeah, probably.
I think parents will now have to cut the slices. There will be no blowing out of cakes anymore.
You do it on an iPad?
Well, when you actually get to be in person with people, you just got to cut out a piece of cake for everyone. No, there is no blow and then cut. Everyone's just going to have a piece of cake
on
a plate.
That cool move you did as a kid where you lick your fingers and put the candle out.
But there's still
droplets.
That's
the bad boys.
Oh, yeah.
The real bad boys will do that.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. And then the kid had cigarettes rolled up in his sleeve.
Yeah.
So you guys are going to get back to my answer.
Okay,
when
sorry.
Are you
so, I, you know, listen,
shows?
There's Yellowstone is filming right now. I believe
so they are filming.
Shows like Grey's Anatomy, mm-hmm. SWAT, some big network shows are filming right now. There's some the movies that are filming right now. I know somebody that's in Australia filming. But it is, you talk about bubble and intensity, it is real intense. There are armed guards on her floor. She is escorted.
Armed guards.
She is escorted to work, back to work. She cannot leave her hotel room.
This isn't a terrorist situation, is it?
Well,
has she been threatened by a drug cartel?
No, she's really not that dangerous.
Right.
Yeah.
Who is this? What show?
It's a movie.
Oh.
It's a movie.
And it's in Australia?
They're shooting it in Australia, yeah.
And there's armed guards. Like I said, are you sure this isn't one of the Narco series and it's just part of the show?
Like they're bringing, like, guards? Sons of Anarchy, they're bringing in real gangsters and yeah. real bike gangs.
Is that what they did on Sons of Anarchy?
I think actually they didn't necessarily – they did bring in some ex-bikers, but I think what happened too was some of the actors got so caught up in character they thought they were bikers. And by the end of Sons of Anarchy, there were just massive fights. People were bringing guns to set, actors.
No.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because they thought they were –
They like got so into character, which happens, you know, when you're in character. I thought I was a Marine for like a couple months when I got home from one of my jobs
yeah.
until my wife was like – shut up. You're not a Marine.
I'd be terrible on set because I'd be like, could you get out of my face? You don't. You know you don't do this for a living. What are you doing? You're from Long Beach. Knock it off.
But Ron, yeah. who is the yeah. guy from Hell? What's his name? From Hellboy, who is also in Sons of Anarchy.
Ron Perlman.
He does strike me as a guy who would think he's a biker. Like, I could see him lifting his leather vest to show you a strap or a knife or something like that where he thinks he is. And thank God Daniel Day-Lewis wasn't on the set, too, because they would have knifed each other.
Like, I have a feeling that Shia LaBeouf, after filming Tax Collector, was pretty sure he was that guy. I mean, he
Tax
like...
Tax Collector any good? Should I see it?
I have not seen it yet. I have a good friend in it, Cynthia Carmona. It looked good. The trailer looked good.
Yeah.
Shia LaBeouf, though, looks like... I mean, I think he went and got tattoos... with some of the dudes, so yeah. He seems like a kind of guy that would go all in. Oof,
Rotten Tomatoes says it's terrible.
Oh, really?
We're at 18%.
Oh no!
If they're releasing stuff bad. In the middle of a pandemic, it's usually not good.
It's in theaters if you want to go see it.
For those listening, I said Tax Collector. Lance wrote it down. You then read the Rotten Tomatoes, and it got crossed out.
Yeah,
it's gone.
Now
gone.
Scratched out.
For one moment, it was going to be on the list
sheet with me. Yeah. But, all right, we're going to break it right now. When we come back, I do want to get into Astros and Rockets. As the Rockets have won the first two in the series, and they've done it with really with the ancillary players stepping up. And the Astros are in the middle of the most unlikely 8-game winning streak in baseball history. It's 8:43. You're listening to The Bench.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Yeah. BB's team, yeah.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Eric's freaking out a little bit because Lance touches cleaning.
All right, so I found stuff. This out on our – if you listen to our podcast is called Off Script. Shea Serrano is on today.
He put his mask back on.
Yeah, so Shea Serrano is on today. It's on the episode that dropped. Shea's really, really funny, really great. One thing I learned about Eric about four episodes ago that I honestly didn't know is that he's a huge germaphobe. I shouldn't say huge germaphobe, but he's in the – like – you're in the germy people. You're one of those people who really doesn't trust society that much. Like, Dell's going to be the same way. I have no doubt. Like, if somebody shakes his hand while he's eating, it freaks him out.
Well yeah, because I don't know you. Why are you shaking my hand?
Right.
Thank you. Thank you.
Why do we have a mask on now?
Because of what
you
just
did. What did I just do?
You touched this cleaning stuff.
See, this is where germy people start to show themselves. All I did was pick that bottle
why
up.
Why did you touch it?
You have got you. First of all, if you don't listen to the podcast, you're crazy. So go head to whatever platform you want. Download it; it's amazing. It's called the Off Script Podcast.
I got Cheetos on my
Lance.
Mask.
Cheetos. Yeah, Lance is an absolutely filthy slob. He's a filthy slob.
He gets yelled at every day by the guy who follows him because he doesn't clean up.
Yeah, he's a filthy slob. So I don't want your COVID hands on my antiseptic spray, which I brought here, knowing I was going to have to sit across from you.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just offered. You just offered your hand sanitizer, which presumably you'd be using on a regular basis.
No chance.
But I'm not a detective.
No chance.
You definitely don't, because I just pressed the nozzle down and it shot five different directions, one of which is on my shorts. Look at that on the desk. That looks like Peter North just came in.
Okay, so don't roll in here and tell me you've been using that hand sanitizer because I know for a fact you haven't.
Why?
Or you would have fixed the nozzle.
I've got my own hand sanitizer in the other room.
That's a lie. Why would you? That's all a lie.
You weren't wearing a mask last segment. Now you got a mask on because hand sanitizer shot?
No, well, there because it things. Reminded me.
There are a couple of things. First, you got up and scratched your back on the wall like a bear and then put your arm back there.
Because I got a bad shoulder. I can't get to it.
I would be freaked out too by you.
I can't get to
it. But I'm about 6-7 feet away, so I feel good.
And then I asked Dell to scratch my back and he wouldn't.
Why would I touch you? You're full of COVID.
Figured you would.
You figured? What do you know about me that you figured that?
I didn't figure you out. I got comfortable. I walked into the situation. I felt comfortable. And now I'm back with a mask because I'm reminded of the filth. You're like pig pen. There's like stuff around you, and it's just disgusting.
He's not wrong because, like I said, Joel feels the same way about you.
You guys are too snooty. Here's the thing.
No, you're just a dirty pig.
No, Eric is persnickety, and here's why. And I can't be the only person who does this. When I want to get away from what's going on out in my living room and in that area, I go back. Now, I like to watch television while I eat. I like to watch things.
Are you talking about your bed towel again?
Yes. Yes. Well, that's nothing. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with putting food down on a towel and watching TV. It's just like a table.
On your bed.
It's not a table. It's a bed.
It's a bed.
It's about the choices you've made in life.
I like a table.
Now, are you under the covers, under the comforter and the sheet?
No.
And then you lay the towel on the comforter and eat?
No, I don't do that.
I mean,
that.
That's what... That's if, no, you, well, if you were doing that, that would do be you like lay, the like, ultimate dirty.
Do you lay face towards the television with the bed towel and
lay,
eat
I
like
sit
that?
Sit down on it. Eric has
you
a,
sit down on it.
I sit down on
like
my bed.
Indian style?
No, I sit down on my bed. Yes. Well, we call it
Native American style.
We call it indigenous style.
Crisscross applesauce.
Indigenous. Yes. Crisscross applesauce.
Okay.
I put that there and I do that. And yeah, I have to lean forward over it. But Eric has this image in his mind that
so
he uses of me of sitting in there with no shirt on, just underwear, with chili con queso falling all over the place.
Yeah, to be honest,
I lay down and watch. You know, Narcos Mexico season 2.
I know your propensity for loving food. I just feel like there are dips falling on your bare chest and you're scooping and using chips to scoop it off and eat it.
That's not what's happening. That's not what's happening.
I don't think you're even sitting down on the bed. I think when you're separating yourself
sometimes
from your family, you lay face towards the television. Shirt on.
Yes.
And then you have your towel laid down and you're scooping food.
No,
I
think that's what you
do. I really believe that Lance is 5 years away from being a subject on my 600-pound life. Like, they're going to have to get a crane and they're going to have to remove a wall and get in there.
I like to watch TV while I like to watch TV while, or my iPad, or even, you know, in a pinch, my phone.
Yep.
While I'm have lunch. Like, I don't like having lunch with people, with humans.
Well, right. I understand that. I just have the feeling if you didn't have to get up for this job, we would find food in your crevices, like random crumbs.
You're being way too hard.
Random crumbs.
Yeah.
And then
when you found them.
Because I like watching TV while I eat.
The biggest issue is when you find them, it's not like you just wipe them off and like clean it. You eat them when you find them.
Now y'all have crossed the line.
He's the guy who finds a fry down under his like car seat.
Etu Brute. Etu Brute.
He kind of gives it a thought.
He goes,
like,
how long has it been down here?
Etu Caesar.
Mm-hmm.
Tell the truth. If you find a fry from the day before, would you eat it?
No.
Yes, you would.
I'm not an animal. You're conflating wanting to watch television or
you're not
a streaming
animal.
Program.
Yeah.
With wanting to, with liking to eat, and he gets all upset.
You're not an animal. You just scratched your back on the like a bear.
You know,
you're not an animal.
All this started because I picked up a hand sanitizer to see what it was. All this started. You guys are going in way too many directions.
Do you have a food towel?
I've done it.
How often?
How
often?
I will say this. During the pandemic, when we ate in the car, when you couldn't go into restaurants.
Uh huh.
We had.
Why'd you eat in the car?
Because we had Hamburger Fridays. We would meet Chris Solis and Heather, and we would sit in separate cars.
You're like
cars
the police. You
talk.
Guys hang out, roll down the windows like the police.
Yeah, it looks similar.
Why don't you like sit on the hood or get out of the car?
It's hot. right?
Yeah, it's hot. You don't know. You don't remember what hot feels like.
No.
Yeah, you don't remember
so
what
you
hot
just
feels.
Sit. But do you roll the window down to talk? Yeah. Or y'all just kind of find like.
So are you guys pointed, the head of the car is pointing sort of like cops and you guys talk that way? Like
No. Just sideways. I just, you know, have to talk past my wife.
You need to talk to Chris Ellis that bad that you guys need to sit in
No, it's
cars?
Our way of sharing burgers. It was our way of getting some normalcy.
That's
like
not
Burger
normal.
Friday, we're defeating. There's yeah, we're defeating the
police. There's nothing normal about acting like the police.
You don't get to tell me what normal is, Dale.
Sure I do.
You don't get to tell me
Why
what normal
not?
Is.
Why not?
Because you are...
Because I've chosen not to hide from my family because I can't handle
you've
them.
You've chosen what not do you to mean? Have a family.
Yeah, because
get
I know...
normal.
It wouldn't
get
be great.
Kids.
It wouldn't be great for me, so I wouldn't do it.
Get
you know what I wouldn't
wife,
do?
Dale.
I wouldn't have a full starting lineup plus a bench player and hide from them while I'm eating. I wouldn't do that because that's not my personality.
Yes, you would.
First, it's not my personality to do that.
Wow.
Oh, I'm sorry. Tyler... That's not Dell's personality to hide
no,
from people and isolate.
No, my
that's 100% your brand.
And you know what? I don't do.
That's your brand.
You know why? I don't have the kids to isolate from. I'm not isolating.
You
I'm
make
just by
that
myself.
Choice not to have the kids.
Yeah, because.
But if you had them, you would isolate. Trust
that's
me.
Why you don't have the kids. If you know you would do
well,
that.
I mean, it's too late now.
Because you have a food towel.
I'm in now.
Do you clean the food towel?
You'd have a food towel
no,
too.
Oh, God, no.
Do you actually wash the food towel?
I have a food towel. I will put a towel. I don't have a designated towel
yes,
for food.
Yes, you do.
We said it as a joke. I will put a towel down because I don't want to get it on the comforter.
That's your food towel.
Because then I get in trouble.
Hold
then,
on. Time
is
out,
that
time
your
time
food
out,
towel
out.
Then?
No. I got the perfect question
all right.
to find out if he indeed has a specific food towel. What color is your food towel?
You know the color. You know the color. You know the color.
Typically purple.
Yeah,
that's
one.
That's just one that I happen to use.
That's your food towel.
Because it's not the big. It's not big.
That's the one.
Is it a bath towel?
That's the one that your wife gave you.
Oh, so you can't.
It's the same as when you go and you have a mat on a table. Mm-hmm. It's the same.
Yeah, but
concept.
But you're at a table.
You got your charger.
But he's at a table.
I make it nice.
But he's at a table, not in bed.
The mattress is firm enough, you can put a,
do you use
you can actually
that,
put a drink on top
do
of the
you
bed.
Do you use
too.
That towel? Does it double as your napkin? You kind of lean down and like
ooh,
dab the corner?
That's a good
or do
question.
You have a separate napkin?
Yes.
It's a hand towel. Yeah.
So, okay, so.
Not on your mouth, but you wipe your hands on it. Yeah,
right,
that's
but
the
what
advantage.
About when you have a little ketchup on the side of your mouth? Do you lean down and kind of.
I don't eat like an animal. I wouldn't know.
Oh, okay. All right. Very well.
What do you have a napkin with you when the food towel is there? Or do you just use a towel?
A paper towel.
I don't believe them.
Paper, so environmentally
sometimes.
Insensitive.
If you're already using a towel, just use it to wipe your mouth.
You're in Texas. You're not in California anymore. You don't have to pretend, Eric.
Oh, okay. I don't.
You have to tell us about your environmental sensitivity. You're in Texas. Yeah. Watch it.
Drink out of a water.
See what I just did?
Drink
watch
out
this.
Of a plastic water bottle if you like.
There you go. You're in Texas. You just throw paper towels on the ground.
Okay,
you're
fair
fine.
Enough. Okay.
You got to – we'll get you to where you're like, hey, can I actually use a paper towel? That's how my wife said, I don't want to waste paper towels. They cost like a cent a sheet.
No, it's about the environment,
stop.
Lance.
It's
not about the money.
It's not about the money, Lance.
It disintegrates.
Get a Brita.
It's fine.
Don't use water bottles.
Get a what?
A Brita. A
yeah,
Brita. Yeah, I have
what?
One.
Water bottle.
That's because you're always
and don't have a
trying.
Don't have a plastic water bottle.
Why?
Yeah, because
it's
not environmentally sound.
Forget it.
You're,
I'll have a water bottle.
Well, I will say this. Since he's not actually using napkins, he's using a food towel, he is doing things for the environment. You're wiping
of,
your face with that food towel.
In a way, I'm an environmentalist.
Yeah.
In a way.
When you're wiping case off your nose
I'm
with
kind
your food towel.
I'm an environmentalist, if I'm being honest.
If I walked into your house, what would it smell like?
Oh,
not bad. Well, it's right now it smells like little boys who...
So
like,
wet
like
dog.
A sweaty, yeah,
so
like,
wet dog.
Like
wet
sweaty
dog.
Boys.
Like sweaty white
wet,
kids.
Yeah, so it's wet dog is what
did
you're talking
about. Did you
notice
about that this is something that Dell...
Mm-hmm.
And black people have hidden from us mm-hmm. until I just found out from a comedian. And okay. Adele also said,
confirmed.
Yeah, this is what we do.
It's what we think, it. Certainly.
Okay.
That is it white kids or white people?
I
heard it's white people.
Well, I learned it because
my wife
as co-signed I grew
this
up,
too. She said, well, that's actually true.
It's older white people have decided, you know, to be more cleanly. But if you revert it back to your childlike form, you'd smell yeah. like your white. You smell like wet dog, too.
So my kids do smell like wet dogs when they sweat outside.
I know.
I realize that.
When you talk to basketball.
Or when it rains.
When
right?
you talk to basketball players, they always say that the white European dudes are always way more intense than anybody else in the locker room.
Intense meaning what?
Smell of the body.
Well,
odor.
That's European.
Yeah, that's European.
We're not going to claim that.
But American okay. white guys, you smell like puppies if you're
whenever,
a kid.
Whenever.
Well, that's not a bad.
No,
well,
I kinda,
like
but,
puppy smell.
But
not
puppy
breath.
Wet puppy.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's got a little, which I think is a sexy smell. To me,
does
that's,
your wife think so? That's a no, right? Has she ever said, Lance, I like your musk at any point?
Okay, so she doesn't love when I'm outside for a little bit.
Yeah, because you bring in that dog smell.
Do you go? Are you like a daily?
I don't stink, but I do have a
dog.
I think I do have
deodorant.
A,
deodorant, no, antiperspirant. You probably don't say Axe body spray or something like
Degree.
Degree.
Yeah. Okay. Degree's good.
But you are like you put it on daily.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
No, I'm not a funky person. But when I go outside, I do
well,
think
take
I get,
your walks
I get
and
dog
you come
smell.
In.
Yeah.
Is it all natural though?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. See, that doesn't work. The all natural antiperspirant.
Oh no, no, no! Okay. I don't do that.
Oh, okay.
Like I said, that's Eric. You gotta.
I gotta recompartmentalize.
Yeah, you're not in L.A. You're fine. Everything's fine. You don't have to ask.
No one's gonna
natural.
Take a shot at you.
Brad Pitt's not in here funking it up. No, they say Brad Pitt smells really terrible because he won't use deodorant.
I think you're thinking of Matthew McConaughey.
No, no, no. Yeah, it's Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah.
It's not Brad Pitt.
Yeah, get your white actor.
They're in the same
hippies.
He's right.
Down.
They're all the same.
Kind of in the same. If Matthew McConaughey's not getting a role, Brad Pitt's getting that role.
Yeah.
Brad Pitt probably beat out Matthew McConaughey for the role in
Once Upon a Time.
Once Upon a Time. Yeah.
Do you think Matthew McConaughey beat him out for Dallas Buyers Club?
I don't think Brad Pitt wanted that role.
Yeah.
Maybe Mudtown or whatever it was. Mud. That show, possibly.
I liked Mud, but I mean, he could have done that in his sleep.
Yeah.
I mean, that's who he is.
Kind of who he is.
Yeah.
Kind of like Dazed and Confused. Like, I mean, who's this brilliant young actor? He's just being himself living in Austin.
Yeah. That's just a
that's
dude
just
who
Matthew
lives
McConaughey.
In Austin.
He just grew a mustache for this part. That's all
it.
He did.
That's
same
it.
Guy.
Yeah.
Now,
same
Matthew guy. McConaughey will sell you a Buick. What would you sell people when you're choosing a car, Lance?
Boy, you see how good he is? Way better than John at Segways. I would sell a Gulf Coast Chevrolet Buick GMC. Now, I would sell, for example, the Chevy pickup truck right now. They have 12,000, I believe it is, right now. It's actually 6,000 cash allowance on the GMC pickup trucks, the Chevy Silverado Texas Edition. That's unbelievable. That's a ton of money. Usually it's like $1,000 or $1,500 for dealer cash back, or the cash allowance, I should say. And right now, they've got 6,000. They've got up to $12,000 off MSRP for vehicles in stock. They've got employee pricing right now on all the Buicks. But on that Chevy, that's the thing that I think Suburban's got a great deal going on right now. But that Chevy Silverado pickup truck, you can't get a better price right now and a better program than what they're offering down in Angleton. Now, if you don't want to drive down to Angleton, you can do all your shopping online at LanceZCars.com, and they will deliver the car right to your doorstep. If, however, you want to go down there, they're certainly very safe, very cleanly, and they will get you a car that is right for you. And they'll have a price that is unbelievable and a trade-in that no one can touch, a trade-in value for your car. Make sure that you go to LanceZCars.com to check out their entire inventory. And when you're ready, it's Gulf Coast Chevrolet, Buick, GMC, Chevy. Find new roads.
ESPN 97.5.